भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 5 चैप्टर 1 टेक्स्ट 38। परदेवता प्रसाद इज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी प्रभुपाद। बाय द ग्रेस ऑफ द सुप्रीम पर्सनैलिटी ऑफ गॉडहेड महाराज प्रियव्रत रीअवेकन टू हिज सेंसेस। ही डिवाइडेड ऑल हिज अर्थली पोजेशंस अमंगस्ट हिज ओबीडियंट सन्स। ही गेव अप एवरीथिंग इंक्लूडिंग हिज वाइफ विथ हुम ही हैड एंजॉयड सो मच सेंस ग्रेटिफिकेशन and his great and opulent kingdom, and he completely renounced all attachment. His heart, having been cleansed, became a place of pastimes for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Thus he was able to return to the path of Krishna consciousness, spiritual life, and resume the position he had attained by the grace of the great saint Narada. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. As enunciated by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his Shikshashtaka, Cheto Darpana Marjanam Bhumaha Dabagni Nirvapanam. As soon as one's heart is cleansed, the blazing fire of material existence is immediately extinguished. Our hearts are meant for the pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This means that one should be fully Krishna conscious, thinking of Krishna as he himself advises, Manmana Bhumad Bhakto Madhyaji Mam Namaskuru. This should be our only business. One whose heart is not clean cannot think of the transcendental pastimes of the Supreme Lord. But if one can once again place the Supreme Personality of Godhead in his heart, he very easily becomes qualified to renounce material attachment. Mayavadi philosophers, yogis and jnanis try to give up this material world simply by saying Brahma Satya Jagan Mithya. This world is false, there is no use of it, let us take to Brahman. Such theoretical knowledge will not help us. If we believe that Brahman is the real truth, we have to place within our hearts the lotus feet of Sri Krishna as Maharaj Ambarish did. Save Manah Krishna Padarvindayo. One has to fix the lotus feet of the Lord within his heart. Then he gets the strength to be freed from material entanglement. Maharaj Priyavrata was able to give up his opulent kingdom, and he also gave up the association of his beautiful wife as if she were a dead body. However beautiful one's wife and however attractive her bodily features, one is no longer interested in her when her body is dead. We praise a beautiful woman for her body, but that same body when bereft of a spirit soul is no longer interesting to any lusty man. Maharaj Priyavrata was so strong by the grace of the Lord that even though his beautiful wife was alive, he could give up her association, exactly like one who is forced to give up association of a dead wife. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Na dhanam, na janam, na sundariyam, kavitam va jagadish kamaye mama janmani janmanishvare, bhavatad bhaktir ahetuki tvai. O Almighty Lord, I have no desire to accumulate wealth, nor do I desire beautiful women, nor do I want any number of followers. I only want your causeless devotional service birth after birth. For one who desires to advance in spiritual life, attachment to material opulence and attachment to a beautiful wife are two great impediments. Such attachments are condemned even more than suicide. Therefore, anyone desiring to cross beyond material nescience must, by the grace of Krishna, be freed from attachment to women and money. When Maharaj Priyavrata became completely free from these attachments, he could again peacefully follow the principles instructed by the great sage Narada. So, Omagyanati Mirandhasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Milita. So in this verse, Maharaj Priyavrat is expressing lamentation. Srila Prabhupada is explaining in the purport that because Priyavrat Maharaj had received the mercy of Srila Narad Muni, so he could again regain that same kind of a attitude of renunciation in due course of time. So today we would like to discuss two very important principles. One which is very favorable for devotional service and another which is unfavorable for devotional service. Two kinds of attitudes. One which enhances our bhakti and brings us closer to Krishna, and second is that which takes us away from Krishna. So the first attitude is the service attitude. What is the service attitude? Why one must develop service attitude? How to develop this service attitude? And who is eligible to develop this service attitude? So this is the first attitude which is favorable for Krishna consciousness. In the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, this point of service attitude is illustrated very beautifully when Karada Muni has been instructed by Lord Brahma to perform austerities and create progeny. And on the instructions of Lord Brahma, Karada Muni performs tapasya and austerities. And at the end of performing his austerities, the Lord appears and then he gets the association of Devahuti, and then they also get various daughters as progeny. But still, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Kapildev, is about to appear. And so, when Kapildev takes shelter of Devahuti's womb, at that time, Lord Brahma and various demigods come to worship the Supreme Lord within the womb of Devahuti. So when Lord Brahma descends from his airplane, he is glorifying Karada Muni in two verses. And in these two verses, the concept of a proper service attitude is brought out by Brahmaji very beautifully. So he says that, Toyame apichitas tata kalpita nirvyalikata yanme sanjagrahe vakyam bhavan manadamanayam. He is saying that, I am very pleased with you, my dear Karada Muni. And he is saying, why he is pleased with him? Toyame apichitas tata, my dear son, you have followed the instructions which were given to you very sincerely. And kalpita nirvyalikata, without any cheating. So Prabhupada is explaining in the purport the first principle, why one must develop this service attitude. He is saying that this is the only way by which the conditioned soul can overcome the defect of cheating propensity. Every conditioned soul has a propensity to cheat. And the only way one can overcome this defect of propensity to cheat is by following the instructions of senior Vaishnavas and Guru and the various kinds of injunctions of the scriptures under proper authorities. And by following these instructions sincerely, one can overcome the defect of cheating propensity. And by this, one can achieve perfection. And therefore, one has to develop this service attitude. And so Brahmaji is saying two things. You have followed the instructions which were given to you, number one, in toto, number two, without any cheating. As you were instructed, you have followed perfectly. So this is the main reason why one should develop this attitude. Then Brahma is explaining how to develop this service attitude. How can we develop this attitude in our own lives? So he is saying, Kalpita Nirvyalikata Yanme Sanjagrahe Vyakyam Bhavan Manadamanayam. So there are three aspects of how to develop this service attitude. Yanme Sanjagrahe Vyakyam. So, number one is without duplicity, if one follows the instructions, then gradually this attitude develops. And so Srila Prabhupada explains that one has to follow the instructions with simplicity and with respect. And in this, one has to set aside his ego. So the false ego is a great impediment in one's own spiritual life. And therefore, when the false ego manifests itself strongly, then one finds it difficult to accept the instructions and follow it. So without duplicity means one must follow respectfully and with great simplicity. So this is the most important principle. And he is saying that Bhavan Manada Manayam. He is calling Brahmaji, he is calling Kardamuni, O most honored one, Manada, one who is worthy of giving respect. So I am respecting you because you have actually followed the instructions. By following it without duplicity, you have actually given me full respect. So Prabhupada is explaining in the purport that honoring one's spiritual authority or one's spiritual master or the great acharyas means to carry out the instructions word for word. That is the actual meaning of following the instructions, of giving respect. So when we say that I respect my superior, that means we have to follow the instructions as they are given. So Brahmaji is glorifying Kardamuni for this, that Yanme Sanjagrahe Vakyam, whatever words or whatever instructions I gave you, you followed that in principle perfectly. So that is the first principle, that without any duplicity, using our ego only in fulfillment of that desire. Second is without argument. So Brahmaji is explaining in the next verse, Etavateva Sushrusha Karya Pitari Putraka, that all the sons and disciples are expected to follow the instructions. Etavad Eva Sushrusha, up to whatever extent possible, till this stage. Etavat Eva Sushrusha. So Sushrusha means with great respect. Etavati means up till this point, or this should be the standard. Karya Pitari Putraka. So Putraka means sons or disciples. So sons or disciples must follow the instructions of their father or spiritual master, Pitari, to this standard. And what is that standard? Badham iti anumanyeta gauravena guror vacha. Badham iti anumanyeta means two things. And that's what we were just explaining. Badham iti means yes sir. Literally, the Sanskrit word badham is translated as yes sir. So badham iti means yes sir. That means without argument. So Prabhupada is writing in the purport that a disciple or a son is expected to follow the instruction without argument by saying that, yes sir, I will carry this instruction immediately. And Prabhupada is making another heavy statement after this one, and is saying that in case a disciple or a son says, no, this cannot be done, then he is immediately fallen. And then he is saying that the instructions must be followed without argument. So this is the highest standards which is expected, which is very, very difficult to achieve, but this is the kind of ideal we are expected to strive for. And this is the second principle of how to develop the service attitude, that one must not only follow without duplicity, but also without any argument. And arguments are generated from the intelligence. And one tries to give various kinds of logic. And so Prabhupada gives the standard that one may offer one's differences of opinion and then ultimately follow the principles whatever is described or one is ordered. So that is allowed. But then the most important principle is that one's intelligence must ultimately be used for executing the instructions. And all of us know this famous story that Srila Prabhupada wanted this Chaitanya Charitamrita to be published. And he was asking the devotees that how many volumes have come out. And very few volumes had come out, and then Prabhupada said that the remaining 17 or whatever volumes should come out in next 2 months. And when the devotees heard this, they couldn't believe it. And they thought that Prabhupada is joking. And then they said that, Prabhupada, this is impossible. And then Prabhupada said, you have to do it. And then even before the morning walk could end, the persons who were involved there, they immediately turned back and started planning and scheming how they could execute this. And they worked day and night for more than 2 months working on this. And they actually did it. And then when they brought these published volumes to Srila Prabhupada in Mayapur, so Prabhupada said that whoever was involved in this project, in publishing these books by following the instructions which I give, will go back home, back to Godhead. And Prabhupada gave that assurance and he was so pleased with this. So therefore, without duplicity and without argument. And third is, without hesitation. Badam iti means not only saying yes, but then without hesitation, trying to execute what has been told. So this is the third principle, without hesitation. Because the mind by nature is unsteady, and the mind may come up with so many various plans and schemes. So therefore, one has to not only set aside one's ego, one's intelligence, but also the mind must be fixed and must be controlled from its flickering nature and try to involve in executing this plan. And when you follow these three principles of trying to fulfill the instructions without duplicity, without arguments and without hesitation, then gradually the service attitude develops. And this is the most important principle. And then, what is the result of this? Who can develop this service attitude? Does it require any kind of educational background? Does it require any other kind of material background? So Prabhupada is explaining in the purport, this is the principle of spiritual education. All that is required for getting advanced spiritual education and realization is this. That if one just has this service attitude and follows the instructions perfectly, then even if one is illiterate, even if one has no other spiritual qualifications, all the imports of the Vedic literatures are revealed to him. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was taking a walk in the garden in Bagh Bazar, Gaudiya Math, and he just came across a simple devotee who was a gardener and who was coming from an illiterate background. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur just asked him that you just explain to me what is the tattva of Krishna you have understood. And this gardener who had not read any of the books, he just started explaining the various concepts of Gaudiya Vaishnava philosophy for 5 minutes. So Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur asked him, okay, who is Krishna? And then he asked him, who is the Jiva? Is the Jiva equal to Krishna? And what is the ultimate nature of the Jiva and things like that? And he answered all the questions. And then Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur asked him, so how do you know all these things? You don't know how to read. So he said, I have just heard your lectures. I have just heard whatever you have said and I am just engaging in service here. And Saraswati Thakur said that this is the perfection of his life. That although he is coming from such a simple background, but because he has faith in the words of the Guru and is following the instructions properly, he is just engaging in simple service. Because of this service attitude, automatically everything will be revealed to him in due course of time. And in this way we can see this, that ultimately for development of spiritual consciousness, this is the most conducive. So Srila Prabhupada gives an example that according to our own intelligence and according to our own speculation, many times we may find certain services or certain situations favorable for practice of devotional service or certain services unfavorable. And even when some instructions are given, we may find that this is not good for me or this is good for me, and we may be caught in a mental spiral. So Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur gives the example that to be in a certain material situation is not the main principle for advancement in spiritual life, but to accept whatever is favorable for Krishna consciousness and fulfill the instructions of one's authorities is the ultimate basis, whatever may be the external situation. And if one follows the principle of following the instructions sincerely, then even if the external situation is very difficult to overcome, still one can cross all of these oceans of difficulties. And he gives the two examples. One is that of Rupa Goswami, that Rupa Goswami was a great minister, he was wealthy, and then he gave up everything on the instructions of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So he was involved with the principle of Tyaga. He gave up everything. And then the other was Ramananda Rai. He was a minister. He was living in great opulence. And according to instructions of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was trying to fulfill his duties. So it seemed that he was actually in a situation of bhoga. But both were very close associates of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and both were dear to the Lord. Although externally it appeared that one was following bhoga and another was following tyaga. So what was the main principle? So Saraswati Thakur gives the example, Prabhupada quotes this, and he gives the example of prosrita bhartrika. Prosrita bhartrika means the wife whose husband is away from home. So when the husband is away from home, a chaste wife, she does not dress up properly, she does not take care of her hair and makeup and sindoor and all other jewelry and bangles and other things, and she is living in a very simple outfit. And as soon as the husband comes back, immediately she has all of these decorations upon her. She is wearing the bangles, she is, you know, decorated very nicely, her hair is done well, she is wearing good clothes. So then what is the difference? The ultimate principle is, in either situation, her consciousness is the husband. If the husband is away, my situation is like this. When the husband is there, my situation is like that. Therefore, rather than the external situation, what is important is the principle of her commitment to the husband. So similarly, a disciple or a devotee or someone who is following instructions is more concerned with the person who is giving the instruction and what his expectation is. And then whatever is required, one has to do the needful. And therefore the external situation may be in a certain way different at different times, but if the principle of following the instructions without duplicity, without hesitation and without argument is there, then that is the principle which will ultimately lead to rapid spiritual advancement. So this example Prabhupada gives of the prosrita bhratrika, of the husband who is away from home, and how the wife reacts. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains that for a disciple or for a devotee, the instructions of the spiritual authorities is inseparable, just like the breath is inseparable from anyone's life. A living man cannot separate his breathing from his existence. Our existence inherently has this activity of breathing. So we cannot exist without the breathing. So similarly, for a disciple or for a devotee who is aspiring to advance spiritually, the instructions or the order of one's authorities is inseparable, just like the breathing. It is very much part of his existence, in the sense that he is constantly meditating on how he can present in various ways Krishna consciousness and how he can execute those instructions. As Srila Prabhupada once mentioned to his disciples that he just gave a lecture, it was a conversation, and in that conversation he was just giving so many examples about body and soul. And then after the lecture, Prabhupada, he just said, now you may be wondering that so many examples I am giving of body and soul, so many analogies. Ultimately the principle is very simple. I am not the body, I am the soul. But to explain it, I am presenting so many examples. So how do you think all these examples are coming? And why do you think I am doing all this? So then the disciples said, we do not know. So Prabhupada said that because my spiritual master has instructed me to present this philosophy in the whole world in the best possible manner in English language, I am constantly meditating on ways and means by which I can make this subject matter palatable, understandable, easily to the people of this world who have no conception of spirituality. And because that is my only meditation all the time, therefore so many different ways are being revealed. And that is the most important principle. Like in Vrindavan, Dhananjaya Prabhu brought one devotee called Pundarik Das to meet Srila Prabhupada. And then he introduced him by saying that, Srila Prabhupada, this is Pundarik Prabhu and is a very special devotee. And Prabhupada said, why is he special? And Dhananjaya Prabhu said, he is the only person in ISKCON right now who has memorized all the 700 verses of Bhagavad Gita. And Prabhupada said, please engage him in some practical service immediately and let him do some service. And then gradually we will see how this knowledge is turned into some realization. And in this way, Srila Prabhupada emphasized on service along with study, and therefore this whole system of class in the morning, class in the evening and service during the day in ISKCON has been established by Srila Prabhupada very strongly. Like Tamal Krishna Maharaj was explaining to Prabhupada once that all of these involvement in activities in temple construction and, you know, dealing with this land in Bombay, it is disturbing me so much. I am not able to concentrate. And Prabhupada said, don't think it is not disturbing me. It is disturbing me also. But then, because we have to do it for Krishna, so we have to accept it as part of our service. And then he said, if you feel disturbed, chant Hare Krishna loudly and hear it carefully. and automatically you will get the strength to continue with this. So this is the most important principle of service. Developing the attitude of service which is favorable for Krishna consciousness. As opposed to this, there is this concept of offensive attitude. So service attitude, we can see that Kardamuni followed, and because of his service attitude, the Lord also appeared, and then he was very pleased with him, and Kardamuni could immediately give up all of that opulence, as he had created a huge aerial mansion and he was enjoying along with his wife. But then at the end of it all, because of that attitude, he knew when he has to go, and he immediately left. And therefore Kardamuni is glorified. As against that, we can see there is another great rishi, and his name is Saubari Muni. And Saubari Muni, he had this offensive attitude, and this is unfavorable for spiritual progress. And what happened was that Garuda, he had taken a promise from the snakes that they would offer him everyday oblations, and various snakes, they would come and offer oblations, but Kaliya would eat those oblations. And when Garuda came to know about this, he attacked Kaliya. And then when he attacked Kaliya, then Kaliya was very much disturbed, and he went and took shelter of a lake. And Kaliya took shelter of that lake because he knew that Garuda cannot enter into that lake. And the reason why Garuda could not enter into that lake was, once Garuda came to that lake to eat some of the fishes there. So it is described that Tatraikada Jalacharam Garuda Bhoksha Ipsitam. Garuda desired to eat the fish inside that lake. But when he came there, there was this Saubari Muni. Nivarita Saubarina. Saubari Muni immediately stopped him and said, "You cannot eat these fishes." Because the fishes had taken shelter. The king of the fishes had taken shelter of Saubari Muni. And because Saubari Muni was performing austerities there, he felt it is his duty to protect this fish. So basically, Saubari Muni committed the first offense, that rather than following the instructions of one superior, he started giving orders to his superior. Because by spiritual standards, Garuda is a superior by any standards. And instead of following him and just accepting his request, he gave order to him that do not enter here. So ordering one's superior is an offense. Secondly, Garuda's happiness was dependent upon eating that fish. And if one obstructs someone from his happiness, then that is also an offense. So Garuda's happiness was obstructed and he could not eat that fish, and therefore this was the second offense. And the third offense was that he cursed his superior. He cursed his superior. Garuda was his superior, and he cursed him that if you enter into this lake, then gradually you will be destroyed. So this was a curse which he gave. And so it is described, Meenan suddukhitan drishtva dinan meenapate hatau. So Saubari Muni apparently was thinking that he is doing a great thing. Suddukhitan drishtva. So apparently Saubari Muni did not have any personal interest. He saw the fishes were in distress. And dinan meenapatau hate, and he saw that the king of the fishes is about to be killed. So therefore, kripaya Saubari praha, his heart was filled with compassion. So the motive with which he did was compassion in one sense. But tatra tatra kshemam acharam, which he according to his own intelligence thought would be good for the benefit of the fish and that lake. He used his own intelligence. So therefore we see the contrast between following the authorities of superiors and using one's own intelligence and speculating on what would be correct or what would be wrong. And there is great danger in doing this. So therefore, one can see that gradually this leads to fall down. So offensive mentality basically has these five elements. First is association. So here was Sobari Rishi, who was in Braja, in Vrindavan, and he was taking shelter of a lake which was filled with the waters from the Yamuna. So it was a very spiritual and holy place. So Sobari Rishi was in a very, very holy place, and he was dealing also with a very noble cause of protecting some of the residents of that holy place. But the laws are so subtle that one has to be very careful. He was dealing with Garuda, who was a very great spiritually powerful authority. And because of that, he had a problem. He had developed close association with the fishes. So that is the first principle, association. So we associate with someone, and that association leads to the second stage of developing some affection. So it is natural to develop affection for people with whom we cohabit or stay together with or stay closely with. And sometimes it is by will of providence that we are near someone or we regularly associate with someone, stay with someone, and then we develop some affection. And that affection leads to the third stage of attachment, and we become deeply attached to that person also. So everything is fine so far. But then, if this attachment leads to loss of discrimination, which is the fourth stage, and it may so happen that due to some reasons, something happens with the person to whom we are attached to. Some authority gives certain instruction or order, and we perceive it as an injustice. So, from the point of view of Sobari Rishi, he was perceiving great injustice is being done to these fishes. And therefore, even someone like Garuda is not doing the right thing. So from his point of view, he felt it is an injustice and he must intervene and do something out of compassion. And then this leads to the fifth stage, and that is that of arrogance. Arrogance and trying to do things according to what one feels is best. And so Srila Prabhupada writes that this word Kripaya Sobari Praha Tatra Tatra, this refers to false or misplaced compassion. Compassion which is not according to the instructions of the Supreme Lord. Compassion which is followed according to one's own feelings of what is good, what is bad, could actually create havoc. And so the result of this false or misplaced compassion was that ultimately he wanted to protect these fishes, and two things happened. That the fishes whom he wanted to protect, first of all, Sobari Muni, he was affected by the fishes and he fell down. He was enchanted by the fishes' activities and he also tried to follow in their footsteps. And he came out and he had to produce so many children. And number two, the fishes whom he was trying to protect, they were also destroyed because Kaliya came in. And he was trying to protect one fish, Kaliya destroyed all the fishes. Not only fishes but also all other aquatics within. And so we can see that ultimately, if you compare Kardam Muni and Sobari Muni, both were great powerful munis. Kardam Muni was practicing austerities on the bank of Bindu Sarovar, and Sobari Muni was practicing under the water. So in one sense, the power of Sobari Muni's austerity seems to be greater, in one sense, externally. And both had the powers to produce various kinds of things, because even Sobari Muni later produced so many different kinds of mansions for all 50 of his queens. And when he produced opulent palaces, the girl's father, the 50 princesses' father, King Mandhata, When he saw the palaces of his daughters produced by their husband Shobhari Rishi, King Mandata felt inferiority complex. He felt that my palace, I am supposed to be the king of the whole planet, and this appears so simple compared to the opulent palaces created by Shobhari Muni. So he had the powers also to produce all kinds of things. But because he had this offensive mentality, it took a very long time for him to rectify and come back and be reinstated in devotional service. And in one sense, when one commits an offense, there are two types of reactions which are possible. One is immediately destroyed in certain ways, one gets ill effects. And the second effect of offense is one is awarded material opulence. So Daksha, when he offended Lord Shiva in that palace, in the assembly, immediately after that, Brahmaji made him the chief of the assembly and gave him power to perform the Vajapaya sacrifice. And this power and opulence was awarded as a result of his offense. It is like giving a person enough rope to hang himself. And therefore, we can see that Shobhari Rishi, because of his offensive mentality, rather than being glorious, he actually fell down into the hellish conception of enjoying for several thousands of years. And therefore, we can see that if one develops service attitude, one gradually becomes detached, follows the instructions, becomes purified, and goes back to Godhead immediately. So Kardamuni is glorified. When the time was ripe, he was not at all attached, immediately left everything and went back. And whereas Shobhari Rishi, when his austerities matured, at that time he actually became attached rather than becoming detached. And therefore the difference is in that of attitude. And so in Krishna consciousness, which is a science, one has to be very, very careful as one progresses. And one has to keep in mind that if one does not practice this process carefully, with attention, rather than developing service attitude, we may develop an offensive attitude, which may actually result in all of the results of our devotional service being delayed, in the returns being given to us. And we will just spend so many years waiting for the right moment. So one has to be very careful about this. So Devahuti is explaining in the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam that if one chants the holy name, then the chanting of the holy name has powerful effects of purifying the heart. And even if one has certain offensive mentality, by regular chanting of the holy names, this offensive mentality can be rectified. And she is quoting two verses. Yan nama deya shravana nu kirtanat yat pravranat smaranat api kvachit svadopi sadya savanaya kalpate kutah punah. She is saying that even if a person, because of certain impious activities, is born in a family of dog eaters, svadopi, svada means family where dogs are eaten, sadhya savanaya immediately becomes eligible to perform yajnas if he chants the holy names of the Lord and sees the deities of the Lord, remembers the Lord. So Jiva Goswami is explaining in Bhakti Sandarbha that if you hear this word swada or family of dog eaters, one may think that okay, even in the Shastras, eating dog is recommended in case of emergency, when nothing is available. So if someone eats dogs at certain points of time when there is emergency, what is the problem? So such people who occasionally eat dog's meat because of emergency situation, if the holy name is able to purify them, what is the big deal? It is not a major thing. So one may minimize the power of the holy name by interpreting the word swada according to this understanding. So immediately in the next verse, Devahuti is saying अहो मत स्वपचो गरीयान यत जिह्वाग्रे वर्तते नाम तुभ्यम ते पुस्तपस्ते जुहु सुष्णार्या ब्रह्मान चुर नाम गृणंति ये थे. सो इमीडिएटली शी इज एक्चुअली क्लैरिफाइंग दैट द पावर ऑफ द होली नेम इज नॉट ऑर्डिनरी. इट डज नॉट प्यूरिफाइ समवन हु जस्ट ओकेजनली इंडल्जेस इन ईटिंग मीट और इज इन सच अ फैमिली. Instead of shwada, she changes the word in the next verse and she uses the word shwapacha. Shwapacha means, pacha means to cook. So cook what? Shwa, a dog. One who regularly cooks dog's meat, that immediately makes it very clear that it is a daily thing. Right, it is not an occasional thing because of certain emergency situation. That in families where dog's meat is regularly cooked, aho bat swapacho gariyan yat jihvagre vartate namatubhyam. But if the holy name is there, then one must know that such a person has actually performed all of these things in the past lives. That is how one gets the power to chant the holy name. So in this way, Jiva Goswami is explaining that as soon as one has come to the stage of chanting the holy name, one should know that this person is definitely exalted. That means all of us have received the causeless mercy of being given the opportunity to chant Hare Krishna. It is not ordinary. So all we have to do is make sure that we develop the proper service attitude and not develop this offensive attitude which will simply keep us away from the treasure which is awaiting us in due course of time. And therefore, we have to be very, very careful about the proper principles which we follow in the association with devotees. And to do this, in the 11th canto of Bhagavatam, Krishna is explaining to Uddhav that the same principle of associating with woman and womanizer, associating with womanizer is more powerful, more detrimental than associating with a woman. Why? Because while associating with woman, one may be very careful. But while associating with womanizer, one may put his guard down and think that he is safe. And then one will get more affected. So similarly, association with devotee is more powerful than associating with the Supreme Lord Himself. Just as associating with womanizer is more powerful than associating with woman. So in that sense, associating with a devotee is more powerful. And such association is made possible when one develops preeti. Because sangha means that samagram gamanayate iti sangha. One perfectly approaches a person. And this sangha or association is not just physical proximity, but the actual exchange of affection. So Shadvidha Preeti Lakshana. So the six exchanges which Rupa Goswami describes in Nectar of Instruction, when these are carried out with respect to devotees of the Lord, with great devotees, with the Guru or with the Acharyas or with, you know, great souls, then the effects of all of these other anarthas and offensive mentality is destroyed and one actually experiences taste in hearing and chanting of the holy names. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare. So in this way we can see the importance of this service attitude and the danger of developing an offensive attitude which keeps us away from the Krishna realization. Any questions? So basically in this purport, Priyavrat Maharaj is expressing that now the stage has come that he will go back and take association of Narad Muni, because he was always submissive to the instructions of Narad Muni. He was following his instructions perfectly. So even if for some time it appeared that he has become entangled, because of his submissive, non-duplicitous service attitude, he could again get that feeling of renunciation. And again, he is now expressing in the last 2-3 verses how he just wants to go, cut off all these connections. He has divided his whole family or whole kingdom and then going back and taking shelter of Narad Muni. This is because of that attitude which he has, that he is rescued and brought back into the right frame of consciousness. So these last three verses are very significant, describing the consciousness of Maharaj Priyavrat. Jai Shri Prabhupada ki, Granthara Shrimad Bhagavatam ki, Tai Gop Premanande.